Tango Tango Papa 1732, May 14, 2013.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this afternoon from, I don't know, somewhere in Massachusetts. So, I came back to work, I guess about 4 days ago. Came back to work on a Friday. Maybe it was Friday the 10th that I came back to work. And so I've been pretty busy since then. Since coming back to work, I've been kind of here and there and not really a whole lot of time. But I'm staying busy, so I can't. I'm almost busier than I'd like to be, but it's hard to control that. But in any case, I'm, at least I have something to do and I'm not sitting around. So, the weather-wise, it's been kind of chilly. Right now, I'm in Massachusetts. I unloaded earlier today in Manchester. I think it's Manchester, Massachusetts. And then, this place where I unloaded at, they had, normally they would have truck parking. They've always had it in the past where you could, if you were out of hours, you could just park there. But I guess, someone said that they were redoing the truck parking. I don't know if that's true or not, but now they, right now, and maybe, who knows, maybe never again, they don't have any truck parking. And so you unload there and you gotta leave. Well, the problem was that my hours had just expired. Because I was there probably about 5.5 hours and clock ran out. Well, I had to leave. And so I've been in that situation before. So I came, at that point it was like, 5:30 in the morning. So I was able to come up to a pull-off area. It's like a very small pull-off area. And by that time of the morning, somebody had already left that had been parked in here. So I was able to park, and although, that creates a violation on my log because I drove 11 minutes. So, now when that happened before, and I did have the electronic logs, I just put a note in there saying that the receiver had forced me to get off of their property, and I had to drive until, obviously, if they force you off of the property, then you don't have any choice, and so you've got to drive. So I had to drive until I could find a place to park. So that happened before, and so that's all I can do is put the note in there why I was driving when I shouldn't have been, and so we'll see what becomes of that. But in the past, it's actually happened a couple of times. One time I was, when I was still on paper logs, I went ahead and logged it, and I wrote a little explanation right on the log sheet what happened, that there was no place to park, and nothing was ever said about it, and then more recently it happened with the electronics logs with I don't know how many months ago, and same thing. So we'll see what happens, but if the receiver, a shipper or receiver, says you can't park there, you have to leave our property, what do you do? You have to leave, and of course, this being Massachusetts, there really aren't places to park. There are places to park, but typically they're very small and they're limited. So we shall see. So in any case, right now I've taken a break here because I drove. Had I not had to drive, I had about 4.5 hours left, and then I would have been starting a new clock. I could have started a brand new 14 hours, but since I drove and messed up the I was there for about 5.5 hours. Since I've messed that up, then I had to start a new 10-hour break again. And so I've got, let me look at my Qualcomm. Right now I'm down to, what does that say, 9 hours and 14 minutes on this break. And so 46 minutes from now I can start a new clock. So, and then they've got me loading, I guess it's about 12 miles from here, picking a load up. And of course the thing says there's no parking there, you want to arrive 30 minutes, no more than 30 minutes before your appointment time. Which is, that's typical, so, especially in this part of the world. So that's kind of what's going on right now. So I had at this place where I picked this load up at, well, let me talk about the solar thing first, before, because I had talked about at home getting the getting those solar panels working and what have you. And before I left, the load that they gave me, I didn't have to leave right away. So those solar panels were, they've been there for 15 years and they're kind of dirty. Even though they're not directly under the trees, there is dirt in the air, and there's pollen and bird poop and what have you, and that stuff does build up, and so there's a kind of a scum. You look at the things from a little bit of a distance and they looked like they might be clean, but then there was kind of a scum stuff on it. So I got more of that. I'd bought some of the Windex, the external for external windows. The theory is you spray it on there and then you let it sit for about 15-10 minutes and then you wash it off. Well, that the first bottle of that stuff, I used it probably about 3 times in that way, and it really didn't work all that well. Not on the solar panels, and I don't know. And I tried it on a window as well, and I wasn't really happy with the results. And so what I found is that you have to, especially if it's very dirty, whether it's a window or whatever it is, you have to be able to wipe it. Once you get the stuff on there and it's soaked a little bit, you have to be able to do some wiping. So someone on the phone, and they said, a friend on the phone, and they suggested, well, why not pull your pickup up alongside the solar panel, and then you can stand up there on the bed. Or so what ended up happening, I stood up on the edge of the bed so that I could reach the kind of the high end of that solar panel array. And so that's what I did before, so I was doing that Friday afternoon before I left. I got more of the Windex for outdoor Windex, because I'd used it all, the first bottle. And so I did that, and I have the string, kind of an old string mop, and I got it wet, and kind of stood up on the edge of the pickup bed and scrubbed a little bit, scrubbed around on it. It didn't take much, and so I did that, and then I rinsed it off, and I ended up with better results. It was rather dramatically better. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens from a kilowatt hour standpoint. What I would normally use versus how much this solar array is kind of pumping back into the electric meter. And so that is just, you know, the all I can do is just really wait and see how that works out. So, but it was interesting because by the time I left on Friday, it was pretty cloudy. And after I'd kind of washed that, scrubbed that solar panel and, you know, rinsed it off again, finally, even with it being cloudy, now I don't think the refrigerator was running at the time, but even with it being cloudy, it was slowly making that meter run backwards, the electric company power meter. And obviously in direct sunlight, it would run much faster. Now, the refrigerator, once it gets into warmer, you know, kind of warmer weather, the refrigerator is obviously going to be running more because of the heat that builds up in the house. Now, once it really gets hot, then I will flip the air conditioner on. Right now it's in the heating mode, flip that back over to the air conditioner side, and then 90 degrees. So, you know, and then that way it won't, if it gets more than 90 degrees in there, then it cools it back down. So it's going to be, you know, it's not as if I have the thing completely turned off and the only things that are running are the routers. I've got some routers and the DSL modem and so on and so forth. And so there's several things that are typically kind of left plugged in and running all the time. So it's going to be pretty interesting to just be able to compare the bills. So I'm watching this. I'm watching this highway patrolman. He's in an unmarked car, and there's a van that was parked there, and it's kind of parked. I don't know. It's just kind of parked there. Hadn't been parked there all that long, and the highway patrolman kind of pulled up beside it and went over and briefly spoke with the person in the van. Maybe he told them they're not parked straight. I think perhaps he told them to maybe park right or something. Not exactly sure, but they're going on now, and he got back in his car, the highway patrolman did, and so I don't know what that was about. I guess they were parked wrong. Because instead of, they do have parking stripes, and instead of parking in the, you know, kind of back in one of the, or pull into one of those parking spots, they were just kind of sideways, you know, they just kind of pulled up along, you know, so that they were taking up two or three parking spots. So I don't know if that's what he, but he's parked that way too, so I don't know what's going on. But so anyway, those people left. I guess they were just there temporarily. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how that works out, because I'm, you know, typically I'm gone quite a bit of the time. Then it sort of depends on how much cloud cover there is versus sunlight and so on and so forth. And so it'll just be interesting to see, but like I say, I won't be able to really tell until now the highway patrolman's leaving. Won't really be able to tell what's going on with that until I've gotten some bills, and then I can do some comparisons. So, but that was, you know, it's just interesting that those panels, just the scummy stuff on them, even though, you know, it really wasn't blocking them, you could still see, you know, the if you've ever looked at solar panels, you know, you can kind of see the details of them. Well, you could see the details, but just that kind of black, it's sort of black stuff, dirt type stuff, and you could kind of rub it and it would come off on your finger. Just that, and then mixed in with some dirt and what have you, just that does cause a dramatic difference in the output of the panel. So Like I say, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So, on to what happened last night. I got to this place where I was unloading, and you know, it was an 11:30 p.m. appointment time, and you know, what they ended up having me do was park. Once I got in there, they had me park, and then you got to walk in and take your paperwork in. And so I took my paperwork in, and this you know, there's this huge line of drivers. There must have been, I don't know, 15 drivers or 20 drivers in this hallway, kind of waiting. Part of them were waiting to check in, and part of them were waiting to check in with this lumber service. And so this gal behind the window that was, you know, she's just a single person there kind of taking paperwork, was pretty rude. She was yelling at drivers and, you know, kind of berating them and so on and so forth. And, you know, I handed her, you know, where I picked the load up at, they gave me a, you know, like a manila envelope with the bills, to contain the bills. And there, I don't know, there are probably 15 or 20 sheets, at least 15 sheets of paper that kind of comprised the bills, maybe even 20. And so she said, well, I'm not taking that. You have to sort that out. That probably has three POs. I don't have time. You can see that I don't have time. Blah, 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 blah. Go ahead and back into the door. And then come back and have that sorted. So I backed into the, walked back out there to my truck, and then went and backed into the door. And you know, that's a rather large warehouse, and so I got it parked and the airlines disconnected. And then walked all the way back down to that receiving office and got back in line. And so in the meantime, I looked at those bills, and there was only one PO. And so I'm thinking, you know, you have these thoughts, well, what can you do to get back at this person? You know, because, you know, you're in a situation where they control everything. They could throw, she could have me thrown out of there if she wanted to. So, you know, if I return her animosity with my animosity, then she's going to win because she's in a position of power. You know, and then you think, well, you know, who could I write to? You know, how can I sabotage these people? Make them pay, or, you know, make them, you know, and those thoughts kind of go through your mind. And that's not the answer, because that doesn't solve anything, and it, you know, a lot of them, as I say, if you try to sass her back or whatever, you know, you could end up getting thrown out. And then, you know, and the load's not unloaded, and you're the one that loses. So, because she is in a position of power, even though she's a tyrant. So how do you deal with a tyrant that's in a position of power? The answer is, of course, it's awareness. And all you have to do, so what I did, I went back in there, and I didn't say a word, and I didn't have a mean look on my face or anything else. Very calm. I just looked at her, you know, and I didn't really stare at her, but I just kind of patiently stood there. And she knew that I was, you know, that I was just aware of her, kind of aware of her behavior, aware of her. And if you can do that, somebody that's sort of a tyrant, and so she's in this dog-eat-dog situation. I'm sure she's not that mean of a person. But she's in this dog-eat-dog situation where she's overworked and so on and so forth, and she's there in the middle of the night, and, you know, there's these jillions of drivers that are constantly streaming through there. And it's really not a very nice job that she's got. So, but she's in this dog-eat-dog situation, and typically what people will do is they pass the hell along. And, you know, I've given the analogy before, and it's a really good one. Let's say you have a father that's, let's say you have a family. You have a father and a mother and three kids. Well, the father has this, you know, he's in this terrible job, and the boss just, you know, comes down his neck, and he can't really do anything. And so he goes, he just kind of takes it, but then he goes home and he takes it out on the wife. And then the wife takes it out on the oldest kid, and the oldest kid takes it out on the middle kid. And the middle kid takes it out on the youngest one, and the youngest one kicks the dog. And he's the one that's pulling the wings off of flies, and seems like maybe he has some kind of ADD or something, and everybody's looking at, well, what's wrong with him? When it's really them. But so the hell passes along. So how do you break that chain? It's kind of like a chain gang. It's a slavish chain gang, although it's mental. It's kind of a mental / spiritual thing that goes on. How do you break that? You break it with awareness. And so by me not doing, it's interesting. It's kind of a paradox. By me not doing anything, certainly, what could I do? You know, there was nothing I could say, nothing I could do to make her nicer. How am I going to make her nicer? Can't. So I was just aware. So you cure it with awareness, the right kind of awareness. You be aware of the situation, be aware of what's going on. And so I just kind of stood there, and I calmly, emotionlessly looked at her. Very patient. And then it was interesting what happened. It made her aware, you know, and I don't know what went on in her mind, but I can only, you know, all I can really say, or, you know, all I can really say is what her behavior changed. And she says, well, I've got to get to you. This is getting ridiculous. You've been standing there for so long. And I said, there's only one PO, and, you know, that I can find. Okay, one PO. And she printed the paperwork, and, you know, her demeanor completely changed. So, but that's just one small example. But that's how you have to deal with the world. You're not going to make the world perfect, and you're certainly not going to make the world perfect by taking on the world's nature and kind of passing it along, and, you know, eye for an eye type of thing. Can't do it. It won't work. It just makes it worse. You just become part of the miserable chain gang, sort of enslaved to the big tyrant, whatever the big tyrant is. And so the cure, at least individually, if you find yourself in a situation where somebody's being, you know, it's kind of a tyrannical thing, and it happens from time to time, you just sort of, you know, if it's a person, you just sort of watch them. Without adding any of your own animosity, making carefully examining your own feelings, making sure you don't have any animosity. And you're just yourself, and they're the ones that have, you know, whatever feelings that they have, that they're, most of the time, they're not even aware of it. They just think it's normal. And if you meet that properly, that forces them to become aware. It forces them to actually become more aware, and they become aware of their own behavior, their own tyranny. So, but it was an interesting thing, you know, kind of an interesting experience, and certainly instructive. Once in a while, I'm in a situation like that. That one probably ranks up there with some of the worst that I've dealt with, as far as, you know, a person that's really, you know, kind of in a dog-eat-dog situation, pressure situation, and then, you know, kind of screaming at people. raising her voice, kind of screaming at them, and, you know, "Oh, you stupid so-and-so." She didn't really tell people they were stupid, but, "Why won't you listen to me?" And, you know, "I've said it over and over again, you don't hear me," and that type of thing. And, you know, so I have ran into that in the past, and so, but you may not be able to, you know, you're not going to correct these people. Straighten them out, quote unquote. All you can do is make them aware, and they can end up becoming, taking on an awareness that they don't want to take on. And who knows, you know, because it does have an immediate effect. It did have a quite immediate effect on her. Me just kind of patiently standing there looking at her without any animosity. It did have an effect on her. So who knows what effect that has after the fact. Because, you know, they do, you know, awareness is a very powerful thing. And especially that type of awareness. And if you take that, if you're kind of forced to take that sort of awareness on, whether you like it or not, then it, you know, it's kind of like taking something into hell that doesn't belong. So, who knows what effect that has? And I don't really care. It's not up to me. It was just my job to be calm and patient and so on and so forth and aware, you know, and sort of in a sense a sort of a mirror, sort of forcing someone to become aware of something that they really probably don't want to be aware of. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. You know, because there are some people that, you know, "I don't give ulcers," or "I don't get ulcers, I give them," that type of thing. You can take a person like that, and you meet with them. It doesn't really matter. See, that's the beauty of this. If you can meet them with the right attitude, minus your own animosity, meet them with the right attitude, then it puts them in a position where they have to become aware. They take on awareness whether they like it or not. They become a slave. In a sense, they become a slave of the person that meets them with this calm awareness. That meets them with the right type of patience. And it may seem like a little thing, but as I say, it has a very powerful effect. And it's that is the answer to tyrannical situations. If you find yourself in a situation where someone's being a tyrant, you know, now in this case it was a dog-eat-dog system that this gal's working in. I'm sure all of them, probably no one in that place likes their job because of the type of system that it is. There's no one that's probably, no one in there is happy to be there, that works there, that I could see. So, but you have to learn how to meet the imperfections of the world, the tyrannies of the world, perfectly, and you do that with calmness and patience, with a calm, patient awareness, the right kind of awareness. And so, I don't know, it was kind of an interesting experience, and as I say, it happens from time to time. Most of the time I deal with people, it's not, they're not quite that short. But of course, you have to understand this is Massachusetts, and the people that live here. Their government is, it's long since kind of been out of control. And it's not really their government so much as them. They're out there, the people here, a lot of them are because, and you can tell by the government. By their fruits you shall know them. You can tell they're kind of out, they've been out of control for a long time. Morally, they got some moral problems here, you could say. So, what was that? Oh, I know what that is. I had my alarm set. Let me pause this, and I'm going to turn that alarm off. So I will be right back. So I'm back. I had the alarm. I had an alarm set, but I woke up way before the alarm went off. At least it had probably been up for about an hour and a half. So I forgot, I forgot to turn the alarm off, but it went off, and, wondering, what was that? So, in any case, the world is in the process of, deteriorating. There are an increasing number of dysfunctional people. And that's putting it kindly. That's sort of, when you say someone's dysfunctional or a system is dysfunctional, that's sort of a cold analytical word. To a large extent. And, but it does describe sort of the condition that people are in. And it's going to become worse. Because, dysfunctional people call forth dysfunctional organizations. And so there are increasing numbers of dysfunctional people. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. And there are people that in the world that it's sort of their job or they take it upon themselves to create as many dysfunctional people as possible. Because thinking that dysfunctional people... They know that dysfunctional people can be programmed. And so there are people that are deliberately trying to create as many dysfunctional people as possible so as to reprogram them. Somehow, reprogram a socialist utopia or communist utopia. And it cannot work. You end up with tyranny. You end up with a world full of egos that are at each other's throats. Because, you may be able to program people to do... You can program people to do bad things, usually. You can program people externally if you cause them to become dysfunctional. If you destroy the relationship between themselves and their God-given identity, you can, to a certain extent, reprogram them, but you can't program them to be perfect. You can't program them to be good people. It's the opposite. You can make them worse. And so we are in a world that is really, it's coming to some sort of a climax. And so it's going to get worse. Someone was saying, it's nice that you've... turned the news off, but isn't that sort of like burying your head in the sand? Do you really want to bury your head in the sand? I'm not burying my head in the sand. I can tell you, it's going to get much worse. And I've been saying it for a long time. I've seen this coming for a long time. You think it's bad now? It's going to get worse. It's going to get much worse. And I don't... So do I need to wallow in the details? Do I need to wallow in every little detail? Let's say you have an alcoholic relative. Or, a drug addict relative. Do you need to wallow in every little detail of their life? Every little detail of their addiction? Of their self-destruction? Do you need to wallow in that? Wallow in every little detail of how they destroy the people around them? sort of screw the lives up of the people around them. Do you need to wallow in that, or you just know that that's what they are and that's what they do, and be done with them? You're not going to change them. The only thing that can possibly change them is if they wake up in the gutter one day and they suddenly begin to become conscious. Consciousness is the only thing that can really change them. Consciousness, the right kind of consciousness, is the only thing that can really change anyone. So it's going to get worse. Now, personally, you know, this is the only world there is that I know of. That this is the one I'm in now, and it's pretty dysfunctional. It's becoming more dysfunctional. So what do I do? I can't make it more functional. So therefore, I have to change my own. The cure for me is more awareness. Sort of as I was talking before, you know, about this experience earlier today with a woman at the window. I have to become more conscious and not, and a big part of that is not resenting, not getting upset with the dysfunction around me, the increasing dysfunction, and it's going to get much worse. You know, it's one thing for you know, someone in a position like that, sort of yelling at people and berating them, and they're in a position of authority and so on and so forth, kind of being a tyrant. That's one thing. What happens when people are starving? What happens when there are concentration camps? What happens when there are death camps? What happens when there are death panels? As in the healthcare. That's coming. And by the way, I was thinking about this thought popped into my head. You know, it's really a rich kind of an irony that the 60s sort of flower power generation, you know, those, you know, I'm thinking of the people, you know, that were maybe like 18 in the mid 60s, and the later 60s they were 18, 19 years old, and they were, you know, they were big into the hippie thing and so on and so forth. I think it's rather rich, that, you know, because those people were spoiled. Unfortunately, their parents spoiled them. But I think it's rather rich that a lot of those that wanted communism then, you know, and they're clamoring now. They've got their health care, you know, or they think they do. But they're going to be the first ones, if it all goes into place, they're going to be the ones that face those death panels. They're going to be the ones when they're 80 years old. The state's basically going to tell them, sorry, you're too old, you don't get any more health care. No health care for you. Here, have a pain pill. If they even have that. Or maybe the state just says, well, you're too old, time for you to die. Death is part of life. Goodbye. I think that's rather a rich irony that those people that thought it would be so wonderful if the state was in charge of health care, you know, and they made all these arguments about, oh, it's just the rest of the civilized world, they have socialized health care and we're the only country that doesn't, blah 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 blah. I think it's really rich, the rich irony, that they will be the ones that face the death panels, that face the misery. And it's going to serve them right. It really is going to serve them right. And it's just, we're rushing headlong into that at this point. So, anyhow, I think I'm going to cut this off. Let me see how much time I have left before I've got 10 minutes. It's 9 hours and 50 minutes. So, see if I can get this uploaded and get headed down here in a while to pick the next load up. So, in any case, hope everyone is having a great week so far. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.